Welcome, reanimated fans, to this week's episode. I'm AJ Conrad, here as always with my intrepid co-host, Stuart Tiffin. Hello, Stuart.
Yo.
I come from traveling far off places and climbing mountains and such to record this podcast here with you, number 221 in our series.
So many.
I know. The sort of recap today is the season finale of Fear the Walking Dead season 5. But before that, we have a couple of news items. One is about the new series that they've been teasing a lot from the Walking Dead creators called The Endlings. And I saw this and had. What did you think of this, Stuart? What was your immediate reaction?
I don't know that this is called The Endlings, but one of them very clearly says, we're the Endlings, so that's why I threw that subtitle on there.
I thought they're not going to have a Walking Dead something in it, and they say it so sort of forcefully, I kind of agree with you that that's probably what it's going to be called.
It felt pretty telegraphed. So I was having trouble watching this trailer and realizing that it's all post-apocalypse.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's 10 years after, is based on some of the articles. It doesn't feel that way to me.
Nope.
It feels a little too clean. It feels like this one girl, her eyebrows are way too plucked.
Oh, they're all very, they are all very coiffed in this. It's like Dawson's Creek.
It doesn't feel post-apocalyptic.
It's like Dawson's Creek is hanging out at a summer camp or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And a lot of the voiceover is like very dramatic, and that's exactly what it feels like to me. So I don't know. I guess we're going to have to give this a shot, but we shall see. I'm not feeling too hopeful. Then they're trying to be a little too funny. Like there was like a moment they're trying to be a little silly, and I get it, but it's just kind of, I don't know. This doesn't feel quite right to me, and it doesn't feel in the same universe as The Walking Dead, which it's supposed to be. The big news that was really just totally, I mean, I don't think it's totally shocking given that the pilot or the season of her show like totally got canceled, but apparently Lauren Cohan is returning to The Walking Dead, at least in season 11 in some shape or form. So not totally shocking. They left an opening there for that.
It honestly feels way too much like they just gave her the chance to tank Whiskey Cavalier and come back, because it's exactly what's happening.
It was really bad, so I think that they probably saw the first couple of episodes and were like, maybe we should leave this open for her.
So you were on the road, but did you see any of the panels or anything?
We had almost no connectivity, which is actually kind of cool but a little weird. But yeah, so I haven't seen a thing from it. So we'll have to play catch up on that. It's Comic-Con, so all the highlights will be up online pretty soon anyway, I would imagine, if not already.
Yeah, I had a hard time looking at all this hype and bombast and fanfare about The Walking Dead Prime having just finished Fear the Walking Dead. And I guess I'm showing my hand a little bit, but after our last episode of this podcast, you and I we're on the same page of,
oh yeah,
this is horrible, this is bad, what are we going to do? And so it is weird to see people being like, yeah, The Walking Dead, it's amazing. I'm like, I don't know. I have a really bad taste in my mouth right now for the next, you know, because it's this weekend. Wait, it's tonight, isn't it?
Yep.
The first episode of Walking Dead season 11 is tonight.
Yeah, I'm almost like, I don't know that I want to get into that right now after this horrible, horrible season of Fear the Walking Dead. Before we get into that, we should say that we have one more little news item, which is that in Western Mass, there is a zombie basketball team that runs, like, does games and stuff for charity, and I think it's kind of cute. So they're doing, like, their second annual thing, I guess, and they donate all the money to charity. I thought it was pretty cute.
Yeah, so I guess they're, like, pro-ams, or...
I guess.
I'm not sure. But they named their team the Zombies, and I love it.
I know.
And they actually went 11-1 in their inaugural season and made it to the playoffs and were like completely off guard. And I just love the fact that there's a team called the Zombies out there and that they're just doing it out of love.
Yep. And I think that's awesome. But about zombies we don't love, no. So I know we showed our hand probably last time a lot, but I just kept hoping the season would redeem itself, and I'm going to just say flat out, it didn't. This is just a total dumpster fire. I think this ending is fitting for the season that we saw. Without further ado, let's jump into it. This is called The End of the Line. Yep. And this is the season finale of season 5 of Fear the Walking Dead. It aired on September 29th. I say we just jump into it, pull the Band-Aid off, and get this over with.
So Michael Satrazimus, longtime director on this series, was the director, and it was written by Goldberg and Chambliss, the infamous showrunners. And it's called End of the Line, like you said. It's episode 16 for the season. When we last left our heroes, they had just arrived at the Gulch, and it found it completely full of zombies.
Yep.
And Dwight had peaced out and said, I don't want any part of this. And Morgan had just called for help from
Ginny. Dwight's peace out is short-lived because he starts hearing Sherry's voice, of all things, over the walkie. I'm shocked at this. I'm shocked at this. I know you are.
What I thought was happening, because when he throws the walkie away after he's like, that's not her voice, he throws the walkie into like a mound of freshly turned earth.
Yep.
I was like, that's her grave.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what was going to happen there. In any case, he happens upon, you know, the sort of remains of the convoy and is trying to get into whatever the heck they name that thing. What is the name of what's-her-face's truck? The AMRAP?
The AMRAP. Yep. Yeah.
And then suddenly several horses walk up and he's excited.
They amp up that scene a little bit where he's like, is it the the cowboy people, the key cowboy? What are we calling Virginia's group?
They all
wear keys on their lapels and silly hats. So are they the key hats? Are they?
I don't know, whatever. But they're in any case. These horses are incredibly well groomed. Anybody who knows
saddles on them and tackle and reins hanging down. But maybe there were more of them originally. I've been thinking about this too, like because the people they find at the Gulch, who are their riders, are extremely desiccated walkers.
This is my problem, because like horses you can't leave saddles on them like that. They get literally saddle sores and stuff. Their skin is really sensitive. You can't leave that stuff on. Like, these horses would be in incredibly bad shape, and they definitely wouldn't be in any shape to be ridden. But whatever. Yeah. We'll forgive.
All the walkers, I mean, in theory, all the walkers inside the Gulch were this community of 200-plus survivors that we'd heard about, we hear about later in this episode, and several of the key cowboy people. We never really get the numbers on that. We don't really know when this happened, but based on the undead, it looks like at least weeks ago. And that's the question. Can horses survive weeks?
Right.
With all this crap on them that would get tangled in trees and stop them from being able to get away from walkers.
Right. Also enough food, which I guess there's some grass, sort of, but it seems kind of desolate, and apparently there's got to be water. So anyway, that's where Dwight is, and then we've got Morgan sort of doing his weird Morgan thing where he's, like, trying to bargain with Ginny, even though he really doesn't have anything. Like, his whole thing, he keeps saying, like, the same things over and over again all throughout this episode. It's like, we all need to stay together, and she's like, no. And he's like, yeah, you have to take all of us, and she's like, no. And then it's like he has no bargaining chip. I don't really understand what he thinks he has. Like, he's dealt with groups like this multiple times before. It's not like he is sort of like she has shown exactly who she is. So I find this weird. This is, to me, is extraordinarily poor writing and storytelling again. And it really bums me out because Morgan, while he has done some incredibly stupid things, if we remember the roots of Morgan, he used to be a character we liked. We were really excited to see him on this show. And
when did we like Morgan?
I think maybe when we very first met him, and then maybe the second. It's been a while. It's been a while. But when we reunited with him, like when he was all like kind of crazy Morgan, and then
he was a pacifist.
Yeah, or? And then like he was kind of okay a little bit when he was learning the pacifist ways. But then, you know, he's got like. They kind of lost whoever he was supposed to be, I think. So he just becomes more and more Morgan and annoying in this episode, at least the Morgan that they see him as. And it really just depresses me because it's like, this is just ridiculous. This is just more like talk over the walkie-talkie. You're also like promising. So basically you're telling Jenny, yeah, we'll give up to you. And then 5 minutes later, decide to take a stand. Like, wouldn't the decision for that have been like 5 minutes earlier? Like, suddenly everything changes. And it changes a little bit because Dwight comes up with the horses, I guess. But the horses they don't really
are a game changer because that does allow them to draw
That's
the herd
true.
Away.
That's true.
But once the herd is gone, there's no need for Jenny anymore.
Right.
Right. They now they've actually got a chance. So
okay, but let me throw this out there. So yeah, the horses, you can draw the herd away, but you've also got humans that can draw the herd away. You know how to do it. You know, like, yeah, it would be a little bit more...
It's harder to get away from a herd on foot.
I guess, but there's ways that you can figure it out. They could have done it in a way, I don't know. There's not, yes, it is a pretty big herd, but I just think before giving up to Jenny, I don't know. It just felt like it was like a very quick change and suddenly they're fighting. Yeah. So that was annoying. And you know, definitely like, is it really shocking the fact that we figure out that Ginny has like killed the members of this town before? Like she kind of makes reference to it and says that they were dumb and it was their fault, but really it's like that she killed them.
It's not that surprising, but it is still, I was wondering how they were going to turn this thing around, and Althea kind of puts it together just with bodies,
yeah,
not really with any actual hard evidence, but other than the fact that key people died there too.
Yeah,
to me that's not a smoking gun necessarily, but yeah, so it's not surprising. We know that Virginia is like a weird I will kill people randomly kind of person.
Yeah. And you know, we got all sorts of the things that they're trying to do to wrap up this show. We've got the John Dory storyline with the marriage. You got the rabbi there. Dory keeps making references about making an honest woman of, June.
I'm not sure why they let Charlie play the processional. She's pretty bad at the banjo.
Yeah. Did we really need another Daniel and Grace thing?
It's
so weird. Like, why do they keep doing it? It's insane.
Like, why couldn't they just, like, tone it down? They're really, really good singers, but they're singing at their, like, maximal output of amazing singing.
Yeah.
It feels like it has no place in this world.
It really feels forced in. But anyway, so, I mean, we do have the moment of their marriage, which I guess is finally long coming. It's a little bit of sunshine. They do a whole thing. But ultimately, they give up to Ginny's group. And, you know, like, Strand does what is not shocking at all, which is he starts, like, bargaining. And, you know, I will say...
Well, there's the whole try and lead the herd at them.
Yeah, but then they all get swept away down the river.
I know nothing happens with it, but it is, like, half of the episode.
Oh, yeah, and it's so annoying, but it's like...
Dwight and June and... They put Grace on a horse, even though she's, like, barely...
I know. and she keeps complaining about it. So it's like, anyway.
It is quite a frustrating scene where they're like, oh, wait, no. What's her name? Luciana is there. We can't send the herd at them. I'm kind of like, really? I mean, Luciana can take care of herself. Yeah. She just has to lock herself in the cab of the truck.
Right.
And they'll be fine.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. But suddenly the decision was made. And suddenly Strand is handing over the starter of the MRAP to Ginny. And, you know, again, not shocking. It's just the whole thing feels so dumb.
Yeah, I really kind of thought there would be more of a twist.
Me too.
Going and negotiating. I thought he was going to figure. And all it really is I'm playing along so that we can get them from the inside. I'm like, yeah, no, I mean, that's the basic way you can do
right.
this.
Right.
It's like they ran out of ideas.
Yeah, and I thought he had something else, but no, I guess they're leaving that for this next season. And then, you know, we have our happy little moment of the marriage and that little bright spot. And then, of course, Ginny drives up and starts splitting up the band. I know it's not supposed to be funny, but the funniest thing is the Daniel and the cat. It's like, really? Ugh, come on. He's like, I travel with the cat. And they're like, not anymore. And it's like, oh, my God, really? This is just dumb.
We can't have you and your cat at the same community just in case you collude.
I know. And, of course, you know, Alicia's probably going to be sent off killing because they make a comment about that. What else?
Split up John and June.
Yeah, which is really crappy.
It doesn't make any sense. No. Why they even feel like it's necessary to do all this.
Right. And also, if you really do have a community and a community that's working, you do want people like that together because that helps keep a community together. So that's stupid. Yet somehow Strand and Alicia end up together.
Right.
But whatever. And then
maybe that's what he was able to negotiate was Alicia. Because they're like, well, the only two people from season one need to be together.
Maybe.
Well, Daniel.
You know, and in the end, she's just kind of being mean and Ginny-like and being like, everybody gets split up, and has some sassy comments to Al. I think the most, well, yet another walky moment in this episode. It's like she agrees to have Grace looked at by the doctor. And do you want to talk about this part? Because I'm just like, ugh. And I thought
it was weird that she brought an oncologist along in her convoy after telling Morgan multiple times on the way there that they weren't going to be taking everybody.
Right. That aside, that weird coincidence aside, I was so annoyed because I kind of knew where this was going when Grace confesses to Morgan earlier in the episode that she basically said she had relations with that guy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if they make her pregnant, I'm just going to like lose it. And that's exactly what they did. And
so which guy did she have relations with?
So she talked to Morgan when they had their whole thing where she had a guy that she had feelings for and she just didn't like jump into it. And then suddenly she tells Morgan that they had sex or implies it. And I'm like, wait, was it that you didn't tell him how you felt? Or wait, I don't understand. And then it was basically like, oh, I told him, but it was too late. And it was just like, what? And now,
so the idea is this is someone that she worked with at the power plant.
Yes. And also,
post-apocalypse.
Also, yeah. If she's 3 or 4 months pregnant, which is what the doctor says, wouldn't June have figured that out?
You would hope.
And she's going to be looking kind of pregnant at that point. Like, that's not. That's not like
first trimester.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, but the big finale, is all about Morgan and Ginny and the standoff. And this is just like the most ridiculous thing.
It's ridiculous on so many levels. Ginny has waited until everybody's gone. I mean, this is a good reason, I guess. She doesn't want anybody else in the Morgan community to see that she's about to execute him.
Right.
For no real reason. But then she also doesn't have anybody else there helping her out.
Right.
And she's not that smart, and she's left him with his stick.
Yeah, and she didn't know how lethal that stick was, I guess.
Well, it wasn't actually nearly as lethal as it should have been, because we've seen him outwit and defeat way more people with that stick.
Right.
Way more dangerous-seeming people than Ginny.
Yeah, I don't even know, man. Like, so they go through a comedy of errors where, you know, she shoots at him, she clips him in the shoulder.
That's not a clip. That's
it's a hard. I feel like that's, no, she gets it. I mean, it's a solid hit and
solid upper chest wound. It's bleeding insane amounts too.
But then, you know, he's crawling across the ground. He gets her with his stick. It's crawling.
He does whack her. But this is what I don't get: is why didn't he stab her?
Yeah.
Like you want to do one of these like fancy side steps and then whack her on the side of the face. And what's her name? Minifee's credit. She does act very, surprised that she got hit with a stick.
Yep.
When she was standing 5 feet away from the guy with a 5-foot stick.
Yep.
I'm like, of course you're going to get hit with a stick.
Right.
But she's also just like, this is over. She looks like she's about to shoot him again. And then decides that the zombies are scary. Like, I'm like, how is this woman still alive?
Yeah. No, it was really just the most ridiculous staging of anything. And then, like, you know, he'd gotten rid of her gun, so she grabs another gun, and then that gun doesn't work. And that was actually a very funny, like, when Morgan acts hurt as if, like, oh, you shot me in the face, and it's like, well, of course she was gonna shoot you in the face. What'd you think she was doing? And then ultimately she just leaves him and says she hopes he dies. I do like how she, like, at one point says that she hates his stupid face. Or yeah, so it was like
I just resent your face so much.
Hate your face.
That is cold-blooded, dude. This guy's bleeding out. Yep. Why do you have to say that? That's such a mean thing.
Yeah, and she's just like, I hope you die. And then, you know, the end of the season wouldn't be the season finale of Fear the Walking Dead season 5 without more walkie-talkie action.
Yeah.
To just keep him out, keep him going on. But basically Morgan delivers his last bit of Morgan-y type advice to all of his friends who may or may not be listening as the walkers are coming toward him. I kind of think he survives this personally because they're being very cagey about whether he's returning to the show or not. But then again, they did kill Madison off screen. So I don't know. What do you think?
The nature of that wound, the fact that he basically somebody has to swoop in and save him.
Right.
He can't save himself.
No, and it would have to be something like that.
If they're going to start next season with a swooper, I have even less respect for these guys. But I have so little respect for them just leaving it undone. Just kill the guy.
Yep.
Just kill him. It's fine. We'll be okay.
Yep. I was really annoyed by that.
The cast is still as bloated as it was when we started this episode. It's actually gotten so much more bloated this season. They needed to do a cleanse in this episode and opted to just do this like, oh, we're going to split you guys up and send you to different places. It's going to be so much fun. And this was the big twist that we were promised by the showrunners that's going to change the nature of this show. I mean, sure, it will. It's going to be painful to watch next season when they have to go from, oh, every character gets their own freaking mini arc until they get reunited. And how many times have we gone through that? Like
it
after
sucks.
The prison in Walking Dead Prime, those are not fun for the audience to have to watch because there's like very little actual story progress until they all get reunited and then you can move forward. So it's another one of these delaying actions that I feel like these showrunners have employed already way too much.
Yep, and I heard them or I saw like they did like this interview talking about all this. And seriously, they are delusional because they were like talking about how exciting it was because the next season we'll see, you know, more of what Alicia and Strand, like, are they going to go back to their original selves? Who cares? Like, this is ridiculous. You've brought them full stop up to like being sort of like growth characters. And this is just a dumb way to regress them. You know what I mean? Like, this just is lazy. I think this whole like season was a big mistake. We are really nowhere new in the season than we were at the beginning of the season. I don't really think that it's got like done anything. So
at the end of last season, there was such a great opportunity the second half of last season with the Dirty Woman or Filthy Woman or whatever her name was kind of a letdown.
Yes.
But when they ended with this, we're going to take over Polar Bear's shop and his convoy stuff. It's basically going to be Mad Max in the zombie apocalypse. I was like, sign me up. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And we had so much potential there. And they just, other than a couple of little scenes of like forming the circling the wagons thing, they have wasted the convoy elements of this season that had so much potential for storytelling. And I know we've talked about this.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yes, they wasted that opportunity. They chose instead to tell stories about fixing airplanes, which is beyond unbelievable. And there were so many episodes of just wasting time, like painting trees and getting in touch with your feelings and suddenly deciding that you didn't want to hurt zombies. And at the end of the day, all of this like faux positivity that they've been seeding into this season has ended up with them just basically being taken over by a hostile group.
Yep. And
so is this now telling us that the lesson is you can't be nice. You're going to get eaten by another nasty group, and then you're going to have to be mean again next season. I'm hoping that.
I think that's what they're doing, but we will see. That said, I'm very happy to bid this season adieu. So cheers to that.
Goodbye, season.
Goodbye, season 5 of Fear the Walking Dead.
I'm wondering. So the Walking Dead Prime starts today, ends probably in February or January is usually how that works, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Maybe before the end of the year. So new show might potentially run between the end of Walking Dead Prime and the beginning of the next season of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, it could. So we shall see.
We'll have something else to gripe about.
Yeah.
So sorry for bringing everybody down with that recap of Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 16. It's a giant bummer for Reanimated. We make no bones about it. But next time, we're going to get together and talk about something that we're pretty excited about, even though it's terrifying and filled with the potential for zombie children, and that is Little Monsters, which should be a limited release, certainly in Brooklyn, on October 8th, I think, in a couple days.
Yep.
And then on Hulu on the 11th. And so we will be talking about this, I hope, next week. And it'll be awesome. So come back and hang out, and we should hopefully be in a much better headspace by then.
Yes, we'll be refreshed, replenished with a good film to talk about. But, you know, if you'd like to gripe about season 5 of Fear the Walking Dead and the travesty that it was, please feel free to send us a tweet. ReanimatedPcast is the Twitter handle, or leave a note on our site, reanimatedpodcast.com, or you can email us at reanimatedpodcast@gmail.com.
All of those things are true.
But I am excited to talk about this little film with you, Little Monsters, and until next time, ciao.
Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.